Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the Senior Digital Editor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. All right, so we've got another episode based on the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Experts League, if you remember. I'm a part of this Fantasy Football Experts League through Blog Talk Radio, which provides our fantasy football podcast, along with all of our great podcasts at Shaw Media. They got a bunch of us fantasy football experts together. We're doing an ESPN 10-team standard league. I won week one, beat Doug Norrie, our guest last week from DFSR. So that was really nice to see. I had a pretty decent week. This week, I'm going to be talking with Jay Long from Razzball, which is a really fun site, kind of nerdy fun. There's a great headline I'm staring at right now. They do a handcuff report. And week two, nothing wrong with your Abdullah Oblongata. So just really fun stuff. I'm really looking forward to our conversation here with Jay Long. And here it is. All right, Jay with Razzball. This is John Solid with Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. We're going up against each other in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Experts League, and I use experts with air quotes. I don't consider myself much of an expert, but I did manage to win my first week, as did you, Jay, so congratulations. We're both 1-0.
Did we are week one experts, I think.
I'll go with it.
No, it's funny you should mention that, because I actually, people on my site who read my work, they know I hate the kind of title of expert. I prefer the title expert at nothing is probably a little more apt. But I consider myself just a fantasy football writer. You know, I just enjoy writing about it. True, you know, I've been successful at it, as I'm sure you have. And so, but the title of expert, I think it kind of gives lofty expectations, like we have a college degree in this or something, like we were accredited or something.
I don't like think I've got a degree on my wall that says fantasy football.
Right, like right next to your, you know, basket weaving degree or something. But, you know, junior colleges nowadays are amazing. Yeah, it's just, I've always felt kind of awkward with that title. So I'm glad you pointed that out. So we can share our awkwardness.
That sounds good, because I am definitely socially awkward. So
yeah. We have the right job. So.
Yes, we do. All right, let's just kind of go sort of position by position here. This week, I made a bunch of waiver claims this week. I was, as my listeners know, I was all over Tyrod Taylor entering the year, and I am jumping off that bandwagon pretty hard, especially with Sammy Watkins possibly injured and at least trying to gut it out. But so I've picked up a couple of quarterbacks. I picked up Matt Stafford, picked up Jameis Winston. I think if they're available in anybody's leagues, go out and pick them up, because I think they could end up being top 10 QBs by the end of the year. But as of right now, I'm probably going to start Winston over Stafford and Kirk Cousins. I really like Winston's matchup at Arizona. I think that has the potential to shoot out. And skinny Jameis looks good this year, doesn't he?
He does. I definitely, there, you know, if you would have asked me a couple years ago who I thought maybe would have taken a step, I think it would have been Mariota. Of course, it's still early. We're only 1 week in. But I loved what I saw in Winston's first game. And I think his talent is what'll keep it all together. You know, just his physical talent will probably push him through, where, you know, maybe someone less physically able, I guess, as a rookie or, you know, as a second year quarterback may not have been able to get over that hump. You know, some quarterbacks don't do it. I guess even physically gifted ones, I guess you could call Jamarcus Russell a physically gifted quarterback.
He had some physical gifts.
Right. A couple, but you know, that turned into a complete dumpster fire. But I don't think that for Winston. And if there's any franchise besides the Browns who deserve, you know, some good quarterback play, it's definitely the Bucks.
Definitely. You know, you've got Philip Rivers in right now. And I think Rivers is a guy that some fantasy owners may shy away from a little bit after the Keenan Allen injury. How do you feel about Rivers, not just this week, but going forward?
Yeah, you know, over at Razzball, I talked a little about this Monday morning when I was, you know, I don't know if you know, but I am, in fact, a Chargers fan, begrudgingly.
I don't know whether to say I'm sorry, but, like, San Diego's awesome, so.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's not the healthiest fandom for myself, probably particularly my liver, but I would say, you know, Philip Rivers has gone through this before. You know, last season, Keenan Allen had the laceration, and he was gone for, if I remember, it was like 6 to 8 weeks. I forget. It was somewhere in that zone. Like I said, I drink when I watch the Chargers. My liver, you know, I don't remember everything that happened last season. But I do remember Rivers still being productive. I mean, this is always dependent on his offensive line, because sooner or later he does kind of, he starts degrading, I guess is the best way to say it, throughout the season, just because he's the type of player. I kind of compare him to maybe like a Big Ben. I mean, obviously personality, they're from the furthest ends of the spectrum. Although the same amount of children might exist for each of them. We just don't know if Big Ben knows where they are. But, you know, getting to the point, his health is a concern once you get towards the end of the season, because he's the type of guy to play through stuff. But for the first 6 or 8 games, which are probably the most important games in fantasy football, I think he can still stay productive. He's still got a lot of weapons. I mean, he'll just depend on Gates more, Woodhead more. Melvin Gordon looked good. If they can keep up the run game. And now this is all, like, you know, when you talk about real football, I don't expect the Chargers to go very far without Keenan Allen this season, nor do I expect them to go very far with such a porous defense that they showed, though they were good in the first half. I would only say that Phillip Rivers still has weapons. I'm really on Terrell Williams right now. In fact, you know, you're talking about your waiver pickups. I didn't really need any waiver wire pickups. I got Bell on the bench. I'm just waiting for him to come back in a couple weeks. But I did make a couple moves for my bench. I did make sure to pick up Williams just because I've been kind of hyping this guy. I try not to show my bias too much on the site, but I really like the situation he's in now. He becomes kind of your wide receiver 2 or 3. I know Dontrell Inman is in that grouping, but as soon as Benjamin, you know, he's the wide receiver 1 de facto, I guess, even though he may not fit the particular role. But I think Williams kind of fills the old Malcolm Floyd role, which is the guy who can go up and get the ball on long routes. He can he has pretty good speed for a receiver. He has good size. And Phillip Rivers loves, as you know, he loves the Gates or the Keenan Allen or back in the day, the Vincent Jackson, and of course the Malcolm Floyd guys who can just, you know, play jump ball with it. Mainly because Rivers' decision making is just, you know, sometimes he just chucks it or waffles it, I suppose. But I, you know, to get back to the point, I don't think this will affect him too much. I still have confidence in it, but you still have to be wary of what he brings to the table previously, which is what I mentioned when it comes to health, durability, and whatnot.
I'm glad you brought up Williams. I think Williams is a good waiver wire pickup this week. I think he sounds like the deep threat in addition to Benjamin, who's going to be the number one. I think if you're in a PPR league, Inman may be the guy over Williams, but you're the Chargers expert here. What do you think about that?
No, I totally agree. I think Inman becomes kind of your slot receiver. He runs pretty tight routes. Obviously, he's not someone that you reach out in 10-team leagues. I got Williams for free, but he's kind of iffy on 10-team leagues, which this league is based on. But in 12-team leagues, I think he's very viable for a bench guy, just to see what will happen, how that wide receiver situation will work out. Inman, like you said, you know, he'll fill the slot. The thing about the Chargers is, and I hate to wax poetic for so long, but, you know, obviously I'm a fan of them, so I watch them a lot, but they run a lot of slant routes, especially in Wiz and Hunt's offense. And Inman is really productive in those type of things, at least in the limited time that I've watched him. So this is something that will definitely benefit him. So in PPR leagues, definitely, I think he has a little bit of edge over Williams, but I think in standard and maybe even half PPR, you want to get Williams for the ceiling. I think Inman's kind of a high floor, low ceiling guy, where Williams is, you know, the opposite, the low floor, high ceiling. So.
All right, well, let's move on to running backs, specifically to our matchup. I've got slotted in right now Lamar Miller, who looked real good in the first half against the Bears and then kind of trailed off. Latavius Murray, who, Jalen Richard looked pretty good, and some of the stuff that I was worried about with Murray entering the season seemed to be there, although Murray did have a decent first week and gets Atlanta's defense now in week one. You've got David Johnson, who I am terrified to go up against this week. I think David Johnson is my number one running back going into this week, even though Tampa Bay's defense looked all right. And you've got Carlos Hyde from the defending week one champion, San Francisco 49ers. They travel to Carolina. I feel decent about my running backs this week. Not great, but I am still high on Lamar Miller. How do you feel about your running backs this week with Johnson and Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, Johnson, I really don't have to think about. He's an automatic start. And, you know, going back to our draft, I had an issue where I talked a little bit about when I was analyzing the draft for my site. And, you know, I was trying to find a way, like, I was trying to explain to the readership. I picked Le'Veon Bell late I think it was on the turn, so I picked him in the second round. You know, obviously when you're on the turn, you're not going to get to pick for, you know, however long. And so I kind of wanted to try a Le'Veon Bell strategy, which is, you know, you get Bell, you're basically, I don't want to say you're punting the second round, but you're essentially R, so you have to kind of build your team to react to that. And so what I did is I drafted Arian Foster and Carlos Hyde, two guys who are risky. We're risky at the time, I think. We don't really know what we're going to get out of Foster. He had good reports from camp. He looked good in preseason. He looked okay in week one. But then you have Carlos Hyde, who you could sort of say the same thing about, who looked really good week one. So, you know, that's related to here, where I couldn't quite figure out who to start this week. It's still in my head of who I want to go with. But since there's no one naturally on my bench, it is pretty much between Foster and Hyde. And so I think I'm going to stick with Hyde just because against the Rams, he looked pretty good. The Rams, I assumed their defense was going to be top five. I think it was pretty easy to call them a top five defense, especially the run defense has always been pretty stout. And he seemed to control the game for what, you know, it was kind of a snoozer type of game, but
it was
an awful game to watch. Right. It was a Monday Night Football game, basically. I think a lot of them kind of have that intrigue of, man, I just like to keep this on for background noise, I think, just to say I watched football. But I would say, I do want to mention Latavius Murray. I was really a big fan of this preseason. I know there are questions about, you know, the role, the volume, you know, if he could break through as a running back one. But I always had this faith that the Raiders are a team on the upswing. It's kind of odd because coming from a Chargers fan, I have this weird, odd fascination with rooting for the Raiders, just because I feel like they're on the cusp of being a playoff team. And I've sort of said this the last two or three years, and that rests almost solely on Murray. I don't think Derek Carr, I think he's a great quarterback. I've spoken nothing but great things about him, but I think he has a ceiling. You know, he's no Aaron Rodgers, obviously. So the players around him kind of have to pick up that offense. And I think Murray's a big part of it. And just when you watch him run, it's pretty impressive. Just the vision that he has when the offensive line gives him a hole, he's a good downfield runner, you know, even though he has the agility to kind of move through the pocket. So I have to say, like, your running back situation is very strong compared to mine. Obviously, I don't have Bell, but, you know, what can you say about Miller? I mean, he was a hot pick. I think during the draft, actually, he kind of fell to a spot where you got him at value, which I thought was also very savvy. So
I took him in the second round. I am really happy to be, and I think anyone who is going up against an owner who has Le'Veon Bell for the first couple weeks, very happy to be going up against that owner, because I don't have to see Bell. I don't have to worry about Bell for at least this matchup. I know I'll see him again down the line, but for at least the early part of the week, early part of the season, I'm glad I don't have to go up against
a slight reprieve. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to wide receivers. My guy all year, I've been writing about him, doing videos about him. AJ Green, obviously, in your season long plug and play in DFS, I'm rostering him as long as he's away from home. He is away from home against Pittsburgh, where traditionally he has roasted. And right now I've got Michael Floyd in there. Tampa Bay and Arizona to kind of shoot out. I've got Moncrief on my bench. I think Moncrief was a week one darling. I think he's going to be pretty darn good, but going to Denver, I'm not a huge fan of the Indy wide receivers this week. Tyler Lockett, he was huge in the preseason. Everybody had him real high, and he is not seeing the field as much as he should be quite yet for his talent level. And then I've got Sterling Shepard on the bench, who I really like this week against New Orleans. I think the Giants are going to go off this week. But right now I'm sticking with Green and Floyd out of those five. You've got Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb. You got to feel pretty good about Cooper and Cobb in your lineup this week.
Yeah, you know, with those two guys, again, you know, talking about the Le'Veon Bell draft, I obviously had to sacrifice because I wasn't going to get – I went David Johnson, obviously, and then Le'Veon Bell. And then it came back to me in the third round, and then – that's where I had to get my receivers. So I tried to pick receivers who kind of hid themselves as wide receiver twos this preseason, but could kind of morph into wide receiver ones if everything
Cooper
fell right.
Cooper for sure.
Right. Cooper for sure. He's part of the, you know, our discussion with Murray. That's another player on the team who could attain superstar status along with Murray that could really, you know, break the Raiders through the division. But, you know, Cobb, was a great case because I think everyone knew he kind of had this underrated label on him, or you could call it sleeper, but I mean, everyone knows who Randall Cobb is. But just the mere fact that Jordy Nelson was coming back, you know, shielding him, I guess, or, you know, just kind of protecting him in the back to his old position. Because as a wide receiver one, it didn't exactly work out for him. But as a wide receiver two, he can definitely shine and put up, I wouldn't say, you know, of course, Jordy Nelson numbers, but he's not far off, you know, if he has a typical season. So I feel really good about my wide receiver core. They don't necessarily have the superstar power that you know, like AJ Green brings, but I feel like they're good, solid foundations, you know, to use kind of a boring term to describe them. So I feel comfortable with it. And I would say only about your team, Michael Floyd is kind of scary, because if you do go with him, he seems like a feast or famine type guy, like, you know, like Vincent Jackson was about 3 or 4 years ago, where he can either get you like 2 points in fantasy or 28. You know, it's kind of strange how it works out.
The Cardinals wide receivers are tough to figure out from week right. to week. And, you know, Fitzgerald early on in the season, I like playing older guys early in the season. I don't like playing them November, December, because they do start to break down a lot quicker. Floyd's a little bit younger. I think Floyd, you know, the preseason hype was that he could end up as their number one. Again, I like that game to shoot out this week. So I think if you've got Cardinals or Bucks on your team, I think that you should give them a little extra consideration this week, just in general.
Yeah, and if you do decide to go with Shepard, I think that's, I mean, any team against New Orleans looks like they can just throw ad nauseum at them at this point. I mean, game one was not pretty for them. It was pretty incredible how fast that defense folded. So,
yeah, I've got I actually have a tough decision at the flex spot this week, because I have another giant who I really like, and that's Rashad Jennings. That New Orleans Saints defense, obviously, we've talked about it. They're terrible. They're just as bad against the pass as they are against the run. So I think I'm going to stick with Jennings this week, just because I like the touches. I like that he now gets all the goal line work in the Giants. And you're going with Eric Decker on the Thursday night game. Tell me about Decker. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'd feel better if this was a PPR league. In fact, I think if you look at my team, I would be pretty good if this was half PPR, PPR, I think. So we should probably get Pod Vader to change it next week. But I like Eric Decker. He's very sneaky with the points he puts up, even in a standard league like this. Of course, I still have a decision to make. I might want to go Foster, just because, you know, this is the only type of format, I think, where running backs still reign supreme. Even saying that, you know, we had a wide receiver heavy draft, I'd say, or at least in the upper draft selections, there are still a lot of wide receivers to go, even in a standard league. But it's how I feel about the matchup against New England. I'm a little uncomfortable with it for Foster, and I'm a little bit more comfortable with Decker against Buffalo. You know, Buffalo's defense is known more for having a good front seven. Their pass defense is, you know, they can contain Fitzpatrick, but Decker is a guy who I think, especially in these intra-division games, I feel good about picking the Jets over Buffalo, especially with the way their offense is kind of, I guess, hobbled is the correct way to discuss it. You know, of course, you know, right, you know, with the Tyrod Taylor incident, and of course, Sammy Watkins limping all over the place. And I don't see Robert Woods being a huge improvement, even though he's stable. I don't see what he can do for that offense. They really need Sammy Watkins and Tyrod Taylor to be functioning together, and that's not going to happen this week. So I think I'll probably stick with Decker.
Any concern on the Jets with the emergence or seeming emergence of Quincy Enunwa? He got a bunch of touches in that.
Yeah, offense. I mean, I got a lot of questions about him, obviously, this week. I still rate him as kind of a wide receiver 3 or 4. Maybe in a 10-team league, probably still wide receiver 4. I'd like to see a little bit more. I mean, he was around last year. He had a couple glimpses, but he never saw this much volume. So maybe this is a new game plan. Maybe it was just a game plan for that game. Maybe they saw something to take advantage of that. So I'd like to see at least one more game before I jump on that bandwagon. But in terms of Decker, I still think, you know, if you just look at the dynamic of this game, even though Buffalo is suffering, it's still, like I said, it's interdivisional, so I think it's going to be close. I think the Jets have an edge, but when it comes down to it, I think Fitzpatrick will rely on his known weapons, and I think Decker will find a way to make an impact this game.
All right, let's round out the discussion with tight ends here. I'm going with Dwayne Allen. I picked up Jared Cook and actually ended up starting Cook last week. which really burned me. I did the same thing in DFS, moving off Dwayne Allen and moving to Jared Cook, and saw Allen just rack up all the points, and Jared Cook burned me again, as he has done multiple times before. But I'm going to go back to Dwayne Allen this week over Jared Cook. I don't love the matchup at Denver, but Andrew Luck is going to have to throw to somebody, and with Denver's corners, I'm more confident in Allen getting the targets. I'm less confident with Jared Cook, who appears to be in a timeshare with Richard Rodgers. You've got Antonio Gates. He's your guy. He's still trying to get the record for touchdowns for a tight end, and now with no Keenan Allen, I fear that there are a lot of targets heading Antonio Gates' way.
Yeah, the one good thing about Allen's injury, I think we referenced a little bit, is because these weapons, you know, the guys he depends on more, we'll see, you know, more volume. I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever had a fantasy team without Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates. I just, as a fan, I've always enjoyed that duo as long as it's existed, which is, a good, I think, 12 years now, maybe 13, maybe even 11. I'm not sure on the exact number. Not like it matters, but
we're not,
we could litigate
here.
This further. Yeah. No, I enjoy the combo, and it seems like a little double dipping, but, you know, because if they have a bad game, it affects your team, but I don't think it's egregious. I mean, it's just your tight end spot. And so, you know, when they connect, which is pretty often, you feel good about it. I feel good when, you know, Rivers and Gates end up having two touchdowns together, and that usually means that my week is going to go pretty well. So I just, that's my way of saying I enjoy this duo, and I'm going to continue doing it until either one of them retire, which I think Antonio Gates, this might be his last season, but we'll see. But I think Phillip Rivers has a few more years, and I'll find another Chargers to patch up with him. Definitely not Allen, if I want to try to win. But
yeah, he was actually on my team here in this league, and I had to drop him. So. I was all looking forward next week to, or for this week, to start Keenan Allen against your Phillip Rivers and just kind of negate a little bit of that, and that obviously not going to happen anymore. So
look, I would rather he be healthy and him beat me than the other way around, you know. So we can actually, you know, misery loves company, so we can commiserate together about that.
Sure, I like it. Well, Jay, thank you so much for hopping on my podcast and me going on your podcast. I'm glad that we're able to do this. Do you have any? It's only Wednesday. We're taping this Wednesday night. But do you have any bold calls for this week in fantasy?
I don't know. I for the beginning of the season, my own bold prediction. I mean, it wasn't even bold. I just said it was a straight prediction that the Chargers are going to the Super Bowl. So I believe that starts this weekend.
Okay.
if you want it bold, there you go. I'm going to stick with it.
That is bold. I like it.
No, it's pretty ridiculous. But they can be synonyms, I feel like. So.
Sure. All right. Well, this has been a great conversation. And I'm hoping to take you down, but good luck this week.
All right. Thank you. You too.
All right, so that was a really fun conversation with Jay Long at Razzball. It's a really fun site, really good podcast. You should definitely check them out. They do a really just a fun job and really present information in a different way. So I think if you're a fantasy football nerd like I am, that Razzball is definitely a place worth checking out. And hopefully I beat Jay this week. That would be nice to start 2-0 in my first ever Experts League. So. That is going to do it for the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Sala. We are coming back later with our game-by-game breakdown, so stay tuned for that.